There we go. Right hand. Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through, I'm going to say at least 14. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out Shechem two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And when they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went. Whether the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered, our lives for yours. If you utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord have given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning for the word of God, the power of God, the power that comes from hearing how great a God you are, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for Rahab. We thank you for her witness, her conversion, her testimony, and her likeness to us, Father God, for we all are Rahabs. Father God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I read a lot just trying to get to verses used normally around 11 and 12 where, well, we really want to pick up the lesson, but we find the spies coming into Jericho. And Jericho was a fortress city, and Jericho was sort of a huge fortress, and it really blocked and protected Cana, the land that God had promised his people. So for Joshua and for the Israelites to get to Cana, they had to go through Jericho. And I believe Rahab knew that. How many here would believe Rahab knew something about God? Mm-hmm. Rahab knew something about God. She knew a lot about God for her being a Canaanite. No prophet had ever gone to the Canaanites and talked to them about the God that she proclaimed right here. She knew an awful lot about him. She knew that he was a great God, a powerful God. She knew that he and he alone had dried up the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to come over. She knew that they had done to Og and Sihon, and this all happened probably 40 years ago. At least 40 years. Rahab. I want to talk about her change. I want to talk about how the power of God changed Rahab. Where Rahab was at, and where Rahab was at is where we were at. And if all of us in here are saved, we were in a dark place. We were in a dark place. I believe Paul puts it like this, and he talks about our condition compared to Rahab's. He says, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world." And we know how folks walk when they walk in the course of this world. Okay? Rahab was a harlot, but the Bible speaks clearly about many of the things harlots do, and not just Rahab. In Proverbs 7, he talks about the clothing of a harlot. It says this, thought this was interesting. Proverbs 7 and 10, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and sup to an heart." How about that? How about he's talking about how a faithful city can lose it. Isaiah in Isaiah 121 talking about harlotry, and really when you talk about harlotry, you're talking about prostitution, you're talking about fornication, you're talking about all the sexual sins all piled up in one. He said, How is the faithful city become an harlot? That's Isaiah talking. How's that happen? Goes on in verse 23. Says, "There's a song of the harlot." There's a song that the harlot sings. Some of you heard the song. Some of us dance to them. Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah said this. He said, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell up among people of unclean lips." So there was a time where Isaiah would have known this. And then there's this transformation has to happen. We're going to talk about Rahab's transformation, but her transformation has to be similar to ours. Okay? But Isaiah is saying this, "And it shall come to pass that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years, Tyre shall sing the song of a harlot." A people without God, people without the Spirit of God. We talked about this morning in Sunday school, the power of God, the Spirit of God in them. You're going to sing. Our bodies were designed to sing. You're going to sing something. But I like this in Ezekiel, because the message has to go to the harlots. And we ought to say, "Amen, hallelujah, thank you for the message, Father God." Because the same message that the harlots had to hear to be saved, we have to hear. God's word don't change. Amen. And we sort of have our little pet sins, but we don't think about the song of a harlot or a faithful city becoming a harlot, or that we need to hear the same message Rahab heard. Ezekiel says, "This wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord." Ezekiel 16:25-35. Let me talk about her condition. I think I've already shared her condition. She was worldly. She was lost. She was without God. Paul says, without hope. Okay? Aliens from the from the covenant of God. Anybody familiar with that? Anybody remember when we were aliens? When we were aliens? Outcasts. How about that? Romans 3 says, for all have sinned. Okay? And come short of the glory of God. Okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some of us come real short. Okay? Some of us think we're not that short. But the word of God said there's none righteous. No, not one. What happens when God's grace comes into contact with Rahab's condemnation, for lack of a better word? What happens when God's grace comes into contact with, put a name on our situations? Think about that. Something's got to happen. You can't come into contact with the power of God and walk away the same. Now, you may walk away. We talked about it earlier. Rich young ruler walked away. But I guarantee you one thing for certain. He was never the same again. He knew that he had came into contact with a holy God. This is why the word of God must be preached. You know, the preacher's job not to save folks. The preacher's job is to do what? Declare what? Thus say the Lord. Okay? Now, her spiritual condition, sort of like ours. Mm-hmm. She lived in a city that was slated for what? Destruction. She lived in a city that had a scheduled destruction date. And many of us in the city, and we ride around, we see houses that are destroyed. And usually it comes from the mayor's office. He has a list of houses that they're going to vacate the lots. And those houses are set there, and you may not know it, but there's coming a time, and I know on many of your streets, houses have been destroyed. Demolition crew come in, wipe them out. That's a picture of Jericho. Jericho was scheduled to be destroyed, and you know what? Rahab knew that. And you know what she did? She prepared herself. She prepared herself to meet this God, okay? She prepared herself to meet this God. How do we prepare ourselves to meet God? Think about it. How do we prepare ourselves to meet God? We have to believe in his word. We have to believe in who he is. Can't put trust in man. Can't put your trust in the church. Can't put your trust in yourself. You got to put your trust in him. John says this in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Rahab and all of Jericho was going to be condemned. Was going to be destroyed. And the word of God said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Remember that time when we didn't believe? We was walking in condemnation. Our next step could have launched us into everlasting darkness. Amen. Our next step, our next breath could have walked us into everlasting darkness. Why? Because he that have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There ain't a whole lot of sons of God. There's not a whole lot of ways to get salvation. There's not a whole lot of ways to get to heaven. Matter of fact, there's only one way. Okay? There's only one way. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there's none other name under heaven whereby a man or a woman or a child must be saved. How about that? John, y'all know this. Y'all know these verses. I said this. Y'all know these verses. John says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman or child comes unto the Father but through me. Listen, there's a problem for those who forget God. We don't like to preach about it. We don't like to talk about it. Folks don't like to talk about this stuff, but the Word of God does. Amen. Psalms, and here's David. David knew because David had gotten in trouble and got out. See, many of us, we in trouble and we really don't want to get out. Okay? Because we've been counting the cost of getting out. It's going to cost us something to get out. David says this, the wicked shall be turned unto hell, and all the nations, sort of like America, huh? And all the nations that forget God. How are we doing with that one? And how does America remind you of Jericho? You think that Jericho allowed them to pray to God in school? Do you think in Jericho they was talking about that transitioning and transgenders and LGBT? You think that was okay in Jericho? Probably was. Okay? Why? Because people forget God. And you can find out what God's word say about anything. Anything on your mind. Amen. You can go to God's word and give you an answer. He'll give you an answer. Let me keep going. Let's look at God's compassion. God is a compassionate God. Amen. How do I know that? Because I'm standing here. Amen. Okay? He's a compassionate God. You have to ask yourself, how many times has God knocked on your heart? On your heart's door. Is he knocking today? Amen. Is he knocking today? I hope this message go out to the sermon audio and knock on somebody's door. How many times has God knocked on your door? How many times has God asked you about your faith? Not your husband, not your brother, not your cousin, not your favorite deacon. How many times has God asked you personally about your faith? Seriously. Been talking to me a lot lately. He'll ask you about your faith. You may not have an answer, and you may ignore him. How many know it feels like to be ignored? Amen. How many like being ignored? None of us like being ignored, but we ignore God because God is knocking on our heart's door. He is asking us time and time again, how's your faith? How's your faith? How many times did God have to call you before you answered? How does God call? Do people? Do the word of God? Do circumstances? Think about it. You think you're into something God don't know you into? God knows. And he will speak to you in your circumstances, and he'll ask you, you know what? Your circumstances are really saying you need the Lord. Your circumstances may be too big for you to deal with. And you need to get down on your knees and you need to get in right relationship with God. And then he'll give you the right answer. We serve a gracious God. Amen. We serve a gracious God full of compassion. Full of compassion. How many know him like that? How many know him like that? How many know him as a God full of compassion. Amen. Full of compassion. Has he been compassionate this week? Has he been kind to you this week? You better believe it. You better believe it. Many of you in here, you have to wake up to something crazy. Okay? And then if we do, we need to be able to handle it. Let me talk about Rahab's transformation. I like this one. Rahab was transformed. Y'all know the Transformers. Kids like the Transformers, you know? And I haven't watched any of the movies. I think they came out with a new one, and some of the kids talk about it. But, you know, you be this normal-looking thing, and then all of a sudden it transformed into something that it wasn't. I spiritualize all that kind of stuff, but that's what we are if we say. We was walking around one thing, and then when God saved us, we became something else. What did we become? We became children of God. Amen. We became children of God when we what? Heard the message of God. This is why I'm so adamant about preaching it. People say, you preach the same thing over and over and over. Paul said, I hope it don't grieve you, but this is all we do. We preach the same thing over and over and over. Listen. Rahab heard God's word. Okay? How do I know? So I just read it. I read it in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. Now, let me read it again. I'm going to read verse number 9. And now she's taking the men up into the and hitting them under the flax. Now, some people say, well, you know, God, you know, she lied. We put a lot of emphasis on the fact, oh, she lied. You know what? She wasn't lying. God had came into her world and she was changing allegiances. She was going from being a Canaanite to being a child of God. Okay? She was turning her back on her past and who she was, because now she became a child of God. She was Amen. Switching sides.
Amen.
But there's nobody saying nothing about these two men that Joshua sent. Now think about it. These most likely were the two most powerful spiritual men of full of faith and wisdom and of the Holy Spirit that Joshua could find. No, notice he didn't send 12 this time. Okay? He only sent 2. Okay? But everybody concentrated on Rahab lying, and nobody said nothing about these two men at a harlot's house. Okay? And nobody, well, you know, here's these two spies, and they didn't name them, but they was at the harlot's house. Let's keep going. Here's Rahab. And she said unto the men, now she got the men hidden. Now, what's happening here? Anybody pick this up? She's risking everything. This is a picture of her faith. She's putting everything on the line. Faith puts everything on the line. Okay? No holding back. You put everything on the line. Because this is not by chance. We're not serving God by chance. She was prepared for this day. Okay? And God knew she was prepared for this day. And God sent these spies to her house because she was the only Canaanite there that was prepared to have an encounter with God. Stay with me. She says this in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord have given you the land. Now, I'm not talking about Cleveland. I know, see, the land. I don't even think Cleveland is the land. No, have given you the land of Jericho. She knew, she had a military mind. She knew that the Israelites had to go through Jericho to get through the promised land. She knew that. You know what? All the other Canaanites knew that too. You remember how many times I've said, and the scripture has bared out, that when God touched a woman with the issue of blood, she was the only person that received a blessing that day, and the crowds wronged Jesus. You think that how can only one person receive a healing? Now that's a sad indictment on all those folks that came, because I know they all had needs. Okay? Think about when the man was lowered through the roof and he couldn't get through the window, couldn't get through the door, had to climb the roof, and the place was packed, and only one person got healed. And in the book of Luke said, the power of God to heal was present. And only one person. Now here she comes to Jericho, a walled city, maybe 2 million people. And only one family is saved? That's an indictment. You know why? Because they all heard and understood the same thing that Rahab did. God had knocked on all the land of Canaanite. No, people, Pastor, back it up. Let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 11, this great book of faith. We had a Hall of Fame game this weekend, and they had all the statues up there. Now this is the Hall of Fame of a different kind here. The Hall of Faith. Here's 11:31 of Hebrews. Here's what it says. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says about Rahab. He says, by faith. Okay? Faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay? By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the God-given ability for you to believe something. Okay? It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. See, a lot of people don't like that word harlot. You see, you get some of these translations and some of these new versions. Somebody, you might have one in here today. And she was an innkeeper. No, not that with the word. She wasn't an innkeeper. Okay? See, we like to double down everything and dumb everything down. We're not saying, no, we don't want to call her. She's in the line and genealogy of Jesus. We don't know. She's a harlot that God saved and put her name on it to do what? To let us know that God is not a respecter of persons. If God saved Rahab, he can save anybody. He can save Rahab, Ahab, Jahab. It don't matter. Don't care what you in. And some of us think our sins is too big. Oh, my sin is too big. God can't save me out of this. Yes, he can. Why? Because by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. Now, why does he put that believe not in there? That's an interesting word. That's an interesting play of word, because what he's saying is that all of Canaanite, all of the people of Jericho had the same opportunity to get right with God, but they didn't. Even when doom was right at the door, even though they knew that the Israelites had to come through Jericho to destroy, to get to Canaan, they refused to believe on the very doorsteps of destruction. And they had most likely seen the armies on the other side of the Jordan lining up, and they still refused to believe. Let me say something to you. Satan's army, or God's army, is on the other side, real close to some of us. Real close to some of us and our loved ones and our friends and folks we'll be coming in contact with every day. There ought to be a desperate plea. We ought to be crying out in desperation, get right, church, and let's go home. Get right with God, because I see him. Okay? And as we get older and older, we see him clear and clear. We see it. We feel it. Okay? We just don't drop down and pick up a quarter like we used to. Those are all signs that you know, I hear folks all say, it's August already? Yes, it's August already. Okay? And you know what? It's going to be 2020 real soon. Okay? And God ain't playing. He given us warning after warning. He given us warning after warning. You know what? We just don't listen. We just don't listen. You know what the Word of God says about folks who don't listen? She says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What's that saying? There's going to be a time he ain't going to be near.
Amen.
Okay? There's going to be a time when he is not near. But you know what we do? Stiff neck. Proud people. Proud people. Listen, Proverbs 29:1. Listen, he that being often reproved. How many times have you been reproved by God? Often. 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 God reproves us often. Only people that God ain't reproved. You read God's word, he reproves you.
Amen.
The book is a reproving book. Okay, you can't open God's word up without being reproved. That's why people don't like going to church where the word of God being preached, because they don't want to be reproved.
Amen.
They really go somewhere, you know, listen, dumb it down. Don't hurt nobody's feelings. You know, let me tell you something. Everybody in heaven's feelings been hurt.
Amen.
Okay, amen. You're not getting to heaven with your feeling not being hurt or your toes not being stepped on. Believe me, I know.
Amen.
And that's what evidence that I'm on my way. He that being often reproved hardened his neck. Okay, hard in his neck. You know what I mean? Stiff neck. Shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. That's the word of God. That ain't the pastor. I ain't making this stuff up. I used to get Jake this scripture. Jake used to say, you know, that ain't in the Bible. I said, Jake, it is in the Bible, and I found it. It's talking about folks just being stiff-necked and not understanding the importance of the day, of today, because next week ain't guaranteed.
Amen.
It's not a promise that any of us going to be here next week. Amen. Or Wednesday. And here's what Proverbs 27:1 said. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't brag about what you're going to do tomorrow. You know what you're going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm not guaranteed. Okay? Amen. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. All the military men that went down in that plane crash, they didn't know they didn't know Friday that they were going to be dead Saturday. They didn't know. But what they should have known, they should have known before they got on that plane. What they should have known before they got in their car. What they should have known while they was taking their last shower. Am I in a right relationship with God? How can anybody get on a plane and not be right with God? I know that's far-fetched, because we just hop in the car and turn on the music and we on our way. Uh-huh. Okay? And then we see all the accidents and we like, whew, feel sorry for them. One day that's going to be you. Or one day that could be you.
Amen.
Oh, well. Okay, Pastor. What did Rahab hear? She heard the word of God, Joshua 2 and 10. For we have heard. Who is the we? All of Jericho. For we have heard the word. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites. What did they do to them two kings? Utterly destroyed them. Okay? Little people, okay? Small group of people. The Israelites never were known to have weapons of mass destruction. They never had iron chariots or big swords, or they were never known to be a nation known as a fighting machine. Never. And when the walls of Jericho came down, how did they bring it down? Little horns, walking around. What? They never known. They were never known for that. They weren't fighters. They weren't warriors. They were people who did what? Depended on God. Depended on God. And honestly, that's how the church ought to be. A church that depends on God. Watch this now. And as soon, verse 11, as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. You know what's happening? God's knocking on their hearts. God's knocking on their hearts. You know what? Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God. Here's her faith coming through. Here's the fact that she changing allegiance. And there's nothing wrong with it, see? See, some of us stay on the wrong side too long. People's in here like, oh, you know, Kyrie Irving, he want to lead the Cavs. He can do what he want to do. Amen. It's all business. Okay? Some of us ought to leave something. Amen. Some of us ought to demand a trade. Some of us ought to go to God and say, I demand a trade. I want to leave this. Get me out of this mess and put me in a better place.
Amen.
Oh, we don't hear it. We don't hear it. Keep me here. I'm miserable. Keep me here. Listen. Get somewhere where you can give God the praise and the glory and the honor that he deserves.
Amen.
And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Why? Because of you. They represented God. She's talking about because of you. For the Lord your God. How about that? He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. You know, this coming from a woman who probably worshiped idols, the sun god, the moon god, the water god. Now, where's she getting all this from? God. God has touched this Rahab the harlot, and he has dealt with her. She heard the gospel. What did she hear? That God was a powerful God. He's able to do anything he wants to do. You know what the message is? Y'all think I'm going to say John 3:16, because that's the message of the New Testament. That is the message. But here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the message. For I deliver unto you, 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. What did Paul receive? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. How about that? That's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. That's all you really need to know. But in knowing that, you're gonna find out some other things. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the message. That's what you need to hear. Sunday after Sunday, day after day, folks ask you, why do you believe? Why do you believe? Why do you believe? There's nothing else to believe.
Amen.
Amen.
Why do you breathe? Because God gave you the breath to breathe. Amen. You tell me why you breathe, and I'll tell you why I believe. Same thing. You breathe because God gives you the breath to breathe, and I believe because God gave me the faith to believe. And it don't stop at believing, okay? Your believing must cause you to do something. See, we like to believe and just stay in our little cubbyhole. No, if you tell me you believe, your belief is going to be followed by some action.
Amen.
Okay? Don't tell me you believe and don't do nothing. Because faith without works is dead. Okay? She heard the message, and the message she heard produced faith.
Amen.
Is what you believe producing faith? What do you mean by faith? A commitment, a trust in God. God, I know you're going to cover me. I know you're going to cover me. See? See? She believed, and it caused her to do something. It caused her to put her life on the line. Imagine Rahab. Think about this. I don't know how big her hotel was. Okay. It must have been big. Okay. A lot of people. But imagine having to get her whole family. Think about it. Think about any of us in here trying to get our whole family into a certain place because next week the God's going to destroy this whole thing. How many of your family would believe you? Man, they'd be like, look, I got, listen, the Browns is coming on tonight. The Steelers is on. You out of your mind. You know why I know that? Because when Sodom and Gomorrah was getting ready to be destroyed, Lot went to his family. And they looked at it like he was a fool. Little man, get up out of here. And many of us would say the same thing. Many of us would say the same thing. I'm just keeping it 100. Okay? Listen, the word of God said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got any faith? The only way you're going to get it, you got to hear something. You got to hear something. But when you hear it, it's going to confront you. It's going to charge you. It's going to offend you. It's going to offend you. And it's going to challenge you to examine yourself. Going to cause you to do that. And believe me, folks, it causes me to do that. Okay? Take an examination. Every Sunday for me. Every Sunday for me, that little boy sitting there, he watched me all weekend. Been with me all weekend. That's all you do is read. That's all you do is study. Now, when are you going to be done? When are you going to be done? When are you going to be done? I'm sitting here like, oh, Lord, have mercy. And over and over. That's all you do is read. How are you going to be done? When are you going to be done? You're never done. You're never done, and it's not just for me. All of us, I said it this morning, we ought to be prepared when we come to church.
Yeah.
We ought to be prepared when we come to church. We ought to be studied up and full. We ought to have been praising God all week and studying and worshiping, and we ought to come to God on Sunday morning full of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Full of it. And then we ought to come expecting to hear God's word preached back to us. And we ought to be able to say amen. Amen. She heard the word and she heeded to the word. She did something. She proved that she was a believer. Does your life prove that you're a believer? How about that? She proved that she believed that God was who he said he was. She proved it. She proved it. How did she prove it? She hid them spies. She hid them spies. She put her life on the line. And she sided with the people of God. Think about that now. She sided with the people of God. She changed sides. As difficult as that sometimes can be. But God always requires us to change sides. You can't come into a saving knowledge of God and stay on the same side.
Amen.
And that is a problem for a lot of us.
Amen.
And you got to leave some stuff, some folks, some relationships, some family. It's going to cost you. Listen,
Amen. Thank you.
Salvation is free, but it ain't cheap.
Amen.
Okay? It ain't cheap. Well, why? For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. But here's the verse we've missed. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Why? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know what else proved it? This is a good one here. And a hard one here. Here's what else proved that she was truly who she said she was. She loved lost folks. See, we think your church ain't growing, Ain't no church in Youngstown growing. Know why I know? Because when one grow, another one gets small. Because all we doing is transferring memberships.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go to any church in Youngstown, and rarely do you see brand new lost folks coming to church and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Everybody coming by letter.
Amen.
And then the letters never show up. Okay, nobody ever calling me for a letter.
Amen.
Well, you know, we got a brother of yours, or a sister of yours, or a family of yours came to our church. Said, hey, you know, can you send me a letter? Yeah, I'd like to send you a letter. We don't care.
Uh-huh.
We can take them right off this dump pile.
Yeah.
We don't care who. Long, come on in. You know? Give them an envelope.
Yeah.
Give them an envelope, see what they put in, and then we'll send you a letter.
Amen.
Wait all day for a letter. She loved lost folks. She did. How do I know? Let me show you this. She made a covenant. She made a covenant with God. She knew God as a covenant God. She said, if you guys really represent God, make a covenant with me. Verse 13. Here's the covenant. Verse 12. I'm going to get back. Now, therefore, she done did her job. She done let these, she getting ready to send these spies back. They know what they came. They went to one little harlot woman and got all the information they wanted about If Cana or if Jericho was ready to be conquered. She gave them all the information. And now she said, now I know what y'all came for. And now y'all going to give me something in advance. Sign this contract with me. Listen. Now, therefore, verse 12 of Joshua 2. I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. All caps. Since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Stay with me. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters. And all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Most of us in here, we try to run away from folks. We try to get as far away from folks that we have the biggest impact on. We trying to get away from. True faith wants to see your family and your brothers and your sisters saved. And sometimes saving them, you got to confront them. I don't know how Rahab got all these folks in her little hotel. I don't know how she got them all in there. Maybe she said we had movie night. Maybe she did like church. We had movie night. We're going to have popcorn and pizza. Everybody come. then locked them all in. I don't know. Somebody help me. I don't know how she got them all in here. I don't even know how to get all y'all here. If the world was getting, God said, you know, Pastor Dillon, all Youngstown getting ready to blow up next week. You know, you need to get all your people in your church. It'd probably be just like this.
Amen.
Phew. And that man, y'all know you're a fool. Then everybody be running in the parking lot trying to get in. Look at this contract. Stay with me. And the men answered, uh-oh, our life or yours? She put her life on the line. They know she did. She said, oh, she lied. No, she didn't. She changed sides. Our life or yours? If you utter not this, our business. See, they put a contract in with her. This was not only their business now. It was our business. It was Rahab and these two spies as one. And it shall be when the Lord have given us the land. How about that? There's been some of us. We've been so bragging, boasting. When we come back next week, you know, we're going to bring this place down. And we wasn't doing nothing. Amen. It was the Lord's doing. See, this is why God sent these two spies, because God knew that they were going to keep it real. Amen. Keep it right. Keep the emphasis off ourselves, see? See, it's not about us. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the preacher. It's not about deacons. It's about God. And all of us that are filled with the Spirit of God, we ought to be pointing to God.
Amen.
Pointing to Christ. That's all we do. We point to Christ. See? We point to Christ. As you look at any of us, you're looking at a mess.
Amen.
You're looking at sinful flesh. But sinful flesh filled with the Spirit going to point people to God. Watch this now. And it shall be that when the Lord had given us the land. Why are they saying it like that? Because God promised them he was going to give them the land. God promised to Israel, I'm going to give you the land. So they're just repeating God's words, okay? That we will deal kindly and truly with thee. How about that? I like that. Then she let them down by a cord. Sometimes she had a gun to their heads or something. She's holding them hostage till you make this contract with me. How about that? Then she let him down. How do you deal with the lost? You love lost folks. The Bible says that pastors and those that are be ordained ought to be hospitable. Hospitable. Let me give you one more point. I have so many, I won't get through them all. I'm going to give you one more. Rahab. Rahab in the church. Last point. Rahab is a picture of the church. Okay? What do you mean, Pastor? Okay. The church is a picture, it's full of ex-Rahabs. Okay? It's full of folks that have walked out of the world system. It's full of folks that have turned their back on the secular world and the worldliness of this world and have become people of God, ecclesia, called out ones. That's what church is. Okay? The church ought to be full of folks, full of wisdom, full of knowledge, full of the Holy Spirit. That's what the church is. And that's what you see in Rahab. That's what you see in Rahab. Not only that, you see that she welcomed the spies. How about that? She welcomed the spies. We sit here and say, well, you know, everybody's welcome in the church. Everybody's welcome. Everybody is welcome. But you don't change the word for them.
Amen.
Everybody's welcome, but you still have to give them the plan of salvation. You still have to preach Christ and him crucified to them. And she welcomed these spies and she gave them the gospel. She talked to them about who God is, see? And her house became a church. Because she started talking about God and how when she heard what he'd done. Have you heard what he's done? Let me tell you what he's done. He's done this. And y'all know I wouldn't be able to go a whole sermon without saying it. He done this. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the church ought to be full of folks, full of action. If you've been saved, filled with the power of God, you ought to be an action person. You ought to be a working person. You ought to be a servant of God. You ought to be looking around and say, man, listen, we got to do something. I know there's more I can do. You ought to be beating on the pastor's door or beating on somebody's door and say, what can I do? If the Spirit of God is in you, you have no choice. I got to find something to do. How do I know that? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith. How? By my works. Church ought to be full of folks working. Working. Not murmuring, like we just studied this morning in Sunday school. Working. 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 How we doing? How we doing? Faith. Last point. I'm done. Rahab's faith. Faith is power. Okay? Faith ain't weakness. Faith is power. Okay? Rahab's faith gave her the power to walk away from the culture that she lived in. Let me say that again. Let me tell y'all something. We so stuck in culture and we so stuck in history and, you know, listen, therefore, if any man be in Christ, okay, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And for many of us, nothing has become new. We so stuck in the past. Oh, we were still looking for reparations. We still worried about getting put back into slavery. Listen, it doesn't even matter if you know the Lord, because it don't matter if you die in the White House or on a plantation. You still, if you're a child of God, you're going to be in heaven.
Amen.
This life is just passing away, and we can't separate from this world.
Amen.
We just stuck. Oh, you know. Y'all read that Bible, y'all study that Bible, you know, white man wrote that Bible and all that. White man ain't wrote that Bible.
Amen.
God wrote his Bible.
Amen.
I'm not even going to go there.
All right.
Okay? Okay? But Romans 12 and 2 says this, and only faith can give you this, be not conformed to this world.
Amen.
Okay? Now, if that wasn't a problem, Paul wouldn't have wrote it. Folks were saying they was Christian, but they was conformed to the world. But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And renewing somebody's mind, it can be painful. Okay? It can be painful. Because, see, God's going to loosen your grip on this world. And that ain't easy. Okay? And I'm telling you from what I know. I'm not telling you from what I'm reading about. It's not easy to let some stuff go. Because God is chipping and chipping and chipping away at everybody in here. Okay? But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Why, Paul? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Listen, folks.
Amen.
Listen. Listen. Rahab knew something. She knew something. She knew this, and I've said this verse a couple times, and it just popped up in my notes again. Neither is there salvation in any other. She knew there wasn't salvation in all them deities. She knew there wasn't salvation in the God Igon and this God and that God and Astronaut and all that. She knew that. Okay? And she put all her astrology books away. She's no longer a Pisces or a Virgo or Leo or Sagittarius. And, you know, we get all up in that stuff. And she let it go. And she had to let some stuff go. And she had to get right with God. And everybody that's right with God has to let some stuff go. And believe me now, Some stuff going to be harder to let go than others. Okay? Some stuff we didn't just had a long time. And it's going to be hard to let go. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God will give you the strength to let anything go that needs to be let go.
Amen.
You know why I say that? One day, all of us in here, you know how I know? Word of God. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto man. Once it's done, after that, the judgment. And you know what that judgment is going to say? You're going to be, and God going to say, why should I let you in my heaven? Why should I let you into my heaven? Tell me. One good reason. Yeah. Okay? And you can't sit there, stand there, whatever, and be speechless. You got to answer. Back in the day, they would put a knife under people's neck and they went to court. They put a knife under their neck. Know why? Yeah, look up. See, you go to court today. You couldn't do that. They put a knife under your neck. And you look down, you kill yourself. You have to look right in the eyes of the person who's questioning you. Many of us will be dead on that day of judgment when you put a knife under our neck. Why should I let you into my heaven? Why? Why should God allow sinners into heaven? He won't. You know what you're going to have to say? I place my faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected and raised from the dead. Excuse me. And I have nothing else to claim. Nothing else to claim.
Amen.
But Christ. Well, you know, I was a pastor. Well, I sang in the choir. I was a janitor at the church. Well, you should have seen it. It was spotless. He ain't trying to hear that.
Amen.
He's trying to hear you. He wants you to quote John 14. He wants you to say, Jesus he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. And it's by him that I'm coming. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's it. Come on in, boy. I'm done. Precious.